He goes beyond.
Yes.
And so the key is to get rid of this thing and to put that in neutral and open our hearts to the Holy Ghost so He can come in and do something awesome in our lives and in our minds. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are you ready tonight to receive?
Yes. Yes.
All three of you, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Father, we just thank You once again for Your awesome word. Lord, we thank You that Your word is just the ability to come in and sort our hearts and our attitudes out, our mindsets, Lord, and just do an awesome work. And Lord, You said it would not return void unto You. So when it goes forth and we receive it with gladness, Lord, You cause the anointing to come to make that word real to our hearts and to do and accomplish in us that which You sent it out to do. So Lord, as we hear Your word tonight under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I thank You that every ear is anointed tonight, that every heart is open to receive, every mind is just saturated with the anointing tonight, so that You can do what You need to do in us and through us, Lord. And we declare we'll leave this place different in the mighty name of Jesus. Every one of us different in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians 5. And one of the biggest quests in life is to find happiness. And, you know, people are just looking for something to make them happy. The world is out there buying stuff all the time. And you know, the funny thing about goods is that they're nice for the season. A brand new car is nice for a little while, you know, but it gets old real quickly. You know what I'm saying? You see something, you think, man, if I could just have that, it's going to make me happy. You know, like my biggest problem is I'm eyeing the latest computer system. You know, that would be really great to have that, you know. And then you get it, and 6 months later it's updated, and you know, there's something better. I mean, you used to be on the cutting edge, and now you're no longer, you know, you're behind the times. And so things grow old, and things lose their grip on us, and the ability to make us happy. So at the end of the day, our real joy comes from within. The real joy comes from what God does on the inside of our lives. Godly contentment, the Bible says, is great gain, see. And it's not earthly contentment, because earthly contentment without godly contentment actually becomes confusion. And we're running around trying to do this and that and the other to make ourselves happy all the time. But there's a realm of joy that we can stay in. There's a place in heaven, in the heavenly realm, that we can stay. It's not a spooky spiritual thing. In other words, we don't only have to be in a meeting under the anointing to be joyful. We can be joyful out there. We can be happy out there. We can have moments when we're under stress, and then all of a sudden we realize what we're doing, and we pull back, and we run into God rather than away from Him and get into the blessing of God. Amen?
Yes.
But Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm reading from the Amplified, says, "Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually. Always be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be." And that's sometimes difficult because, you know, you're in the midst of it, you're in the middle of the situation, and somebody's telling you, the Bible says, be thankful, you know, be happy in everything and thank God for everything. But you're in the middle of the problem. Why would you want to thank God for the problem? See? But it's not that you're thanking God for the problem, because the problem wasn't God's doing in the first place. But and most of the problems that I've ever found myself in is because of me. You know, I got in the way. God had a plan for my life, and I got in trying to modify the plan and try to add my little dimension to it. And I was wondering why God wasn't getting excited about it. You know, heaven wasn't staying to attention when I added my bits. And so most of the time when things have gone wrong, I can look back and see there was something that I did that enabled that thing to go wrong. See, and then there are other times when it's just life and we're in an imperfect world and things do go wrong. So whatever the situation is, we still have to trust God. See, wherever we're at, we have to trust God. And God's given us this wonderful, amazing anointing on the inside of us that brings life. The Bible says it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you. He will quicken your mortal body. You're going to say mortal body.
Mortal body.
If you look at the Amplified, it says your short-lived and perishable body. So God designed the anointing to help us in this dimension that we're living in here. You're not going to need the same anointing in heaven, because when you get to heaven, you're going to be in the perfect anointing, the one you can't have now. See, the one you can't say, "Lord, give me all you've got." You say, okay, fry. Because you couldn't handle all he's got. See, but he's given us the anointing, which is designed to make us successful on this earth and to make us, to give us the ability to succeed. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that word power means God's efficiency, God's ability, and God's might. So he gives us the anointing to become an ability that comes from heaven. See, gives us something to succeed with. And so he's saying, in whatever you find yourself in, the secret is not to pay attention to the thing, because your focus will try to get on it. See, it says be happy in your faith. And so I've noticed in my own life that when things are going wrong and my mind's in a turmoil, that I've got to look to my spirit man, because I look to the peace of God in my heart. And I notice there's a dimension happening. I feel a peace here, but there's this turmoil out here that's trying to assail me. And if I focus on the turmoil, then I lose my joy, see. But when you, what you got to do is let your thoughts be like a train passing by. And you're just observing the thoughts, you see. You're not going to let them affect you. You're going to let them pass by and decide. This is, as I was saying this morning, you're going to decide, this thought is not for me. It's not productive. It is not a godly thought. It's not going to bring me into blessings. So I cut it off. I refuse to receive it, and that train can just keep on passing
right,
by.
Right,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Find another station to stop at, but can't stop at this station.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This is happy station.
Right.
Amen. This is happy station. You ain't stopping here, glory to God. And you tell the train, you just allow that force to pass it by, because many times the thoughts that will come up, and I'll explain this in a little bit, in a little bit, but the thoughts that come up are not what God is saying the situation is. Amen. The thoughts are, it's a lie. It's a possibility. See, it's something that might happen. It's a scenario. It could happen. If so-and-so would happen, then maybe that will happen. See, well, I mean, I'm trying to bring this down to, you know, everyday living. We're living in a time where there's economic uncertainty. And sure, you could lose your job, but bless God, we serve a great God, and he's got another job lined up for you.
Yes.
So if you lose this one, you're simply going to shift on out to the next one.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And that's the way you look at it. So the enemy, if it is the enemy, or if it's just your stinking thinking, will tell you, you know what, if you lose your job, then how are you going to pay for your mortgage? It's going to be really difficult. I remember when I was so sick in July last year, and it was a good thing, because you see, I've actually enjoyed very good health, and over the last 7 years, we don't have any medical, so God has really been really gracious to us, and I've never had to go and see doctors and stuff like that, but for the first time in 17 years of being on the road, I was so sick that I would lie, and me and sleep were not good friends, but I would sleep for 3-4 hours during the day, and my wife knew that there was something really wrong, and got to, within 5 weeks, I hadn't had any meetings, and we're like 2 days away from paying the rent, and I got no more money. It's just the checkbook's empty. We got about $50 left, and my mind's doing this number. Well, now this is the big one, you know. I'm coming home. This is the big one, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This is it. I'm coming home. You know, somehow this one's so big that God can't even do it. And I hear the Lord. It's almost like he's smiling at me, and he's saying, "Son, what are you talking about? Haven't I looked after you for 17 years? Why would this be the moment when I would stop doing that?
Right.
What would be the reason?" And then I get up and I hear the Lord speaking in my heart. And then suddenly I realize, man, there's such a peace in my spirit. And my mind ought to be running off in a panic. But I feel such a peace. It's like God's all over me. Then I'm sitting at my desk and the phone rings and a pastor on the other side. And he's going, facing a major situation. And I start praying for him. The glory falls down in the place, and the anointing's all over me. I got tears streaming down my cheeks, and he put the phone down, saying, "Hey Lord, this is wonderful. I mean, here I am encouraging someone else, and I'm actually needing the encouragement." And then 2 days later, the Lord does a mighty miracle and provides the finance you need to pay the rent on time, pay the utilities, and God just comes through for us. See, so all the worry, all it did was, you know, trying to give me another ulcer. Amen. And so you have to divorce yourself from those thoughts. You've got to cut them off. You see, the brain, and for those of you that weren't here this morning, let me quickly explain this. You have 1 trillion brain cells, and they sit up here in this area called the cortex, and they look like, under an electron microscope, looks like a forest of trees. And when you hear information and see information and through your five physical senses, that goes through into the mind in electromagnetic impulses, and it begins to, they call it the breeze through the trees, and you can actually see it. If you look under a special equipment they've got, you can actually see these electromagnetic things flying through the cortex here. And the brain is working at the speed of light, and it's assimilating everything and trying to find patterns that you've developed over the years, because ever since a child you have this little thing called the amygdala, and it's stored attitudes, and so it'll try to find a similarity, and it'll look back and say, wow, there's something similar happened back there, and so this may be it, and so you better panic, see, and so that attitude tries to rise up and take hold of your life, and so God doesn't want us to do that, because we do look to Him, amen, He's our source. And they were testing out, I shared this today at the lunch table, but probably not the best place to share this, but they were testing out this thing with rats, and they would take a rat and play a loud sound to the rat, and 10 like a bell sound, and on the 10th sound they would shock the rat, just a little impulse, and the rat would shake, and they did this several times, then they would suddenly stop the shock, and on the 10th time the rat would react as if it had got shocked, even though it didn't shock. So they found out that what was happening was the rat would store that memory of the shock in its amygdala, that little almond-shaped thing that sits in the back of your brain. I don't know how big the rat's one is. Probably as big as a pea or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it's a similar type of a thing. And it stores that attitude right in the amygdala. And so there's a connection from the ear directly through the amygdala. And when the rat heard the sound, the amygdala said, you know what, on the 10th one of these, it's going to be a shock. So it would send a signal to the brain to release the adrenaline that it needed to cope with the shock, and the rat would start shaking even though there wasn't a shock. And so what they did was they severed the connection between the input and through the amygdala, and when they rang the bell, the rat would just carry on eating its cheese, and there was no problem with this bell anymore, because it had no way to compare the fact that the 10th wing would result in a shock. And so God is wanting us to get at the place where all the memories from the past, the things that used to cause you to fear, the things that used to happen to you as a child, no longer affect your life. Right. Hello? Yeah. No longer dictate the way your life goes. God is going to restructure the way we think, because He wants anointed thinking. He wants heavenly thinking. He wants divine thinking. He wants anointed, blessed, pure, Holy Ghost thinking, hallelujah, because that's going to result in the blessing of God that maketh rich and hath no sorrow. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And so we have this mindset, and the Bible's telling us, He says, be happy in your faith, and don't look at everything that comes and panic over it, but look to God, because He's your source, you see. And so we look to heaven, and I wanted to share this with you, because it's kind of interesting, but you know, there are two halves of the brain. So if you both, everyone, just hold your fists together like this. And you've got a left and a right side of your brain. And you'll notice that the men's, that's about the size of your brain. And you'll notice the men's brain is a bit bigger than the woman's brain.
Yep.
Now, don't get excited, men, because that doesn't mean you've got more intelligence. It just means that the woman's brain is packed more tightly. And, you know, we've always been told that the left brain is reason, and the right brain is artistic, and so the two work independently. But they found out now that, no, that's not true. Actually, the left and the right brain work together in harmony. The only thing is they look at things a little differently. The right, and I'm not sure which is which, but the right brain would look at the detail to the big picture, and the left brain would look at the big picture to the detail. And it was like this, the left brain, the right brain would say 1 and 1 equals 2, and the left brain would say 2 equals 1 plus 1, see. And so you have this double ability to memorize things. And when you learn to listen to the Holy Ghost and allow the anointing to come in, it'll work these two brains in tandem so that you memorize, so that you remember. And remember, the Bible says God caused all things to come to your remembrance, see. And every good thing that ever happened to you, every wonderful encounter with God that ever happened to you will begin to be lodged on the inside of your memory, and your amygdala will begin to be stirred and changed, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
And you begin to become more of a whole person.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Hallelujah. to the place where your brain is no longer dictating to you how you should live. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want it, Lord. Holy Ghost, slap me upside the head until you got it right. I want it. I'm sick and tired of living by my brain. I want to live by the Spirit of God. I want to live by what He puts on the inside of us. You know? And so we're walking in this realm of the anointing where we're not paying attention to every negative thing that comes. One minute we're in the presence of God and we've heard the word of the Lord and God gave us a prophetic word about our lives and what He intends to do. And then we walk directly out of the meeting and the next day is Monday and we face the day and all of a sudden something negative happens and we forget everything God said to us because we're now focusing on the negative. Oh my, did God forget that I had to face this thing? No, God knew you were going to face it. God knew exactly. God actually knows what's going to go on next week. Hello. He already knows at the end of time. He's already prepared for you. I was in a church one time. They asked me this. Pastor phoned me and he said to me, do you have meetings on this coming weekend? I said, no, I don't. He said, would you please do me a favor and come and lead the worship? He said, I don't have a worship leader this weekend. So I said, sure, I'll come. So we went and led the worship and it was just wonderful. We just entered into glory and the people were just getting just blessed by the worship. And then he got up and started preaching about the devil and how the devil's already planned to attack you tomorrow. And I'm going, no. Why would you tell people that? What about what Jesus is planning? What about what the Holy Ghost is? Who cares what the devil's trying to do? Who cares? Jesus has got something better. Amen. He's got something good for you tomorrow. The Bible says all good things come from above. Amen. From the Father of lights in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. And he's not panicking because he knows tomorrow you may face a situation. Heaven's not ringing. You know, the angels aren't there all new. Oh, biting nails. And Gabriel says, listen, you know, those clips are showing. Yeah, but look what Alan Bicknell has to face tomorrow. Oh, do you think we could pull it off? God's not in a panic situation. He's just, you know, the perfect peace reigns in heaven. Hallelujah. He's got it all lined up. And so, He wants us to focus not on that thing, not on the thing that may go wrong, but on the things that are going to go right. Hallelujah. And I declare to you, tomorrow is going to be a blessed day. Tomorrow is going to be a wonderful day. Amen. You're going to be blessed beyond measure. You're going to get up in the morning, and you're going to walk in the blessing of God. You're going to walk in the strength of heaven. Your amygdala is going to be happy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those negative things that have been saying to you, no more in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
No more.
And tonight you're going to sleep like a baby.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the only difference is you won't have to change a diaper in the morning. Hallelujah. I think that sounds pretty good. Actually, that visual is not really good. Hallelujah. And so he says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. So we're not thanking God for the thing, whatever's going on. We're thanking God in everything. We're walking in the place of the blessing of the Lord. And we just say, you know, regardless of what's taking place here, God loves me. He cares for me. He's going to see me through. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He meant across the top of the water. Not underneath the water, amen. And when the disciples were panicking, Jesus was sleeping. See, where the example was the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, my mind is telling me one thing, but there's a peace of God that is passing my understanding. And so I'm not going to live by this, whatever my thoughts are trying to tell me. Have you ever noticed when you're praying in tongues, sometimes your mind is thinking about all kinds of things. See? And people get worried and say, well, you know, brother, while I'm praying in tongues, my mind's thinking about other things. Well, that's what minds are made to do. They actually do think. If they don't think, there's something wrong. Amen. But the difference is we're going to guide the thinking by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to let the anointing come and guide and direct the thinking so it goes in the right direction. Hallelujah. See, when the Word of God tells you something, it's not to make your life difficult. Oh, well, there's God again just telling me how to do this, you know. It's actually there to make it work.
Yeah.
Watch that everything's of good and pure and of a lovely and of a good report, think on these things. See. So if you have nightmares, well then don't watch Friday the 13th. Come on now. Let Freddy Krueger go and worry somebody else. I don't even know if I have the right person with the right movie. I have no clue. Never watch this movie. Yeah, people sit and watch horror movies and they have nightmares. They're going, ooh, I'm having nightmares. Well, quit watching the thing that makes nightmares. Because you watch it. I mean, you know, I'm very fortunate. I can watch a movie and it just kind of passes by and I go on. I never even think about it. My wife, we'll be watching a movie about a dog, you know, and then the dog gets in it and she goes, is the dog going to live? And I'm saying, honey, the dog's the theme of the movie. They're not going to kill the dog halfway in the movie. Trust me. The dog's going to live. She said, well, tell me when the danger's over. I mean, I'll probably have to edit that out. Sorry, sweetie. Because, see, we can allow the, you know, that's what Hollywood do. They paint the picture, you know. And then you'll notice that they'll tell you when to laugh. You know, they'll play laughter. Or when there's the sharks about to attack, they go do 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 do, and it's all to make you think, ooh, and it's a plastic shark. I've seen it. It's in Disney World somewhere. Come on now. And then people go, now they're too terrified to go in the water. What if a shark bites my leg off? Watch these things and just absolutely make our minds work in this. And the Hollywood's prepared the minds of people. And there's obviously a spirit that rules this world that wants people to think darkness and wants us to think not godly things. And so it's all designed to get our attention and to get us thinking the wrong way. See, but we're refusing to do it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
We refuse to do it. So get something that's going to be good. You know, people walk around depressed, but then you're fired to listen to all depressed music, you know? I mean, sometimes the country and western has got a nice beat, but Lord have mercy, it's all about the saddest things that ever happened. The guy's in his third marriage, and everything's going wrong, and his car's broken down, and he lost his job, and who cares? Who cares? Put something on that's going to edify you. Get a hold of a good tape and get some worship in the spirit and put it on your head and go to sleep with it on.
Yeah.
I often do this. I put the meeting on and I just sleep with the whole meeting that we just came out of because, you know, I find ministering to my own spirit, you know.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but it's true because there's an anointing there, see. There's the presence of God and I go to sleep with this on. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and things still playing. I'm thinking, wow, whoa, that's awesome. Glory to God. It does something for you, see. Yeah. If you find yourself having nightmares or you wake up early hours in the morning and your mind is just working overtime, get something to put your mind attention on so it directs your thoughts towards Jesus and towards the positive thing, towards what God wants to do for you rather than the negative thing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If the news upsets you, don't watch it. Because it's going to be different tomorrow anyway. Come on now, people say, oh, global warming. Global warming. I mean, there was one of the senators. There's his darling hot and stupid head. He gets up and he says the tornadoes that hit the south was a result of global warming, but the same day a record snowfall fell in Milwaukee and the lowest temperatures in 50 years. I'm going, wait a minute, the south's having global warming and the north's having global freezing. What is it? But people hear that, oh, global warming, oh. You know that in the late 1970s they were talking about global freezing.
Yes.
They showed pictures of New York all frozen. People were panicking, oh, icebergs in Florida. Penguins in Florida. You can get them there anyway, just go to Disney. Amen. And we're so busy worrying about all these things. I'm telling you, probably 90% of them are not going to happen because they're all theories anyway. They're all ideas that people have. And you know what the worst is? Many people are making money out of it. Because there's gullible people believing them. It's what God says that really counts. Hallelujah. It's what He says that really counts. It's what He says that makes a difference. And so we're going to feed our minds on those things, because when we feed our minds on those things, then there's no way the mind can run away with you, because it's going to be so full of the good things. And remember, you've got those trees that are, that every one of them, every one of those trillion cells can store up to 70,000 bits of information. And you fill, just fill a few of those trees full of good things. And I'm telling you what, it'll really change your whole attitude. Amen? Amen. So just feed it.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Feed it with good things. My.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So give thanks, for this is the will of God who are in Christ, for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Do not quench or suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Now this is very important, because many times when the Spirit of God, and I've watched this in services, in meetings, where people, as the Holy Spirit begins to deal with emotions, and most of what He has to touch is our emotional realm. Because it's our emotional realm that's such a mess. That's why the joy is so important. But I've seen people go through weeping and then go from weeping into joy. And whatever it is that God's doing, and science has found that if you suppress emotions, it's not good to suppress emotions. Now, people give themselves to the wrong emotions, and that's not good either, see. Depressed people give themselves rather to sorrow and weeping, and it just builds it further and further, and that whole attitude begins to build, and eventually they have a depressed mindset. It's just there solidly in there, that amygdala gets so full of the depression and the anxiety and stuff that they live in that realm all the time. And God wants to change it. So in the meetings, the anointing will work in people, the emotions begin to come. And I've seen people suppress the emotion. They just about to burst out laughing, and then because their mind is thinking, what are people going to think about me? Well, the bottom line is they probably don't think of you either. And it doesn't really matter, because you're the one getting happy. So who cares? I may look stupid, but I'm happy stupid. And the other person may just look stupid. I'd rather be happy and look stupid than be just stupid. Amen. So our minds tell us, well, if you release that now, then you're going to look silly, you know, and what will people think of you? It doesn't really matter, because it's what God's going to do right there. And as you let that emotion loose in the power of the Holy Ghost, He brings out all the good things, and there's a clean out session. I remember I lay on the floor crying for 2 hours before I ever got the joy. And I'm not a crier. I don't cry easily. I mean, I can watch a movie and, you know, it's one of those tear jerkers, and the one thing I cannot do is allow my wife to see that I'm actually getting emotional. And I've got tears in my eyes, and I'll purposely turn my head this way so she can't see it. Then I get an itch in my eye, you know, and I'm trying to wipe that tear out, because I know why. I just don't want her to know that I'm actually being, you know, I'm a softie at all. You know? I actually have a heart. You know? But it's a good emotion, see. It's actually a good emotion. And so we're so afraid to let that go, because we've got this veneer, we've built this protection around us, we've built this veneer around us, and we just can't let this thing go, because it may make us vulnerable. And what we need to do is be an open book before the Lord, to allow Him to come and do whatever He needs to do. So I wept for 2 hours, and my head kept telling me, you're making a total fool of yourself. But it was like my heart was saying, shut up. Shut up, this has got nothing to do with you. And when I got up off the floor, I tell you what, I felt so different. It felt like the hand of God had gone around the inside of me. It was pulling out all the junk, just pulling it out of me. And then 2 nights later, I got the joy. I mean, I lay and laughed for 2 hours solid. I mean, and then my head said, you know, you're making a total fool of yourself. And my heart said, I don't care, this is wonderful. And it took several months for me to come to the place to realize that this was actually good. I would come out of meetings, but I would meet with the glory and fallen. People get drunk in the spirit, and then I get back to my hotel room and I go to bed and I'm thinking, did that really happen? And man, could that really have been God? And then I look at the lives of people changing, I realize, wow, that is so awesome. And it took several months for me to really realize that God was moving in a supernatural way, and that all I had to do was stand back and watch Him do it. That it actually had nothing to do with me. It wasn't anything I said or did. It was God, because people came with a need. And we gave the Holy Spirit opportunity to move, and He came right in, and He saw the need, and He said, wow, okay, so that's what's in your heart. All right, I'm just going to fill you with my glory and my joy and my peace and my love. And I'm going to fix that amygdala up once and for all. And this brain is going to change. And this breeze is going to be so good. Is it going to breeze through these trees? And they're going to blossom and bear fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God, good fruit. Because I'm doing something with your life. I'm going to use you. And I can't use you in the condition you're in, so I'm going to change you. And it doesn't matter what anybody said to you in the past, because of what God says about you now. It doesn't matter what anybody said about you in the past, because none of that has any truth in it whatsoever. Because when God looks at you, you are His son, and you are His child. Hallelujah. And you are called of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And He's got great use for you in the kingdom of God. I watched him up yet and I thought, he's a funny guy. He's funny. Man, I tell you what. Amen. And you're going to find the mindset changing. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. Hallelujah. So don't sit in a meeting and say, oh, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm not even there. I'm not even close to that. None of us are. None of us. There's nothing special about any of us. You say, well, brother, you know, there's an anointing on your life. You must be doing something with your life. I don't know what it is. I just hang around Jesus. People come to me and say, well, wow, you know, what if your mom and dad, were they some super saints or whatever? I say, no! Sorry, mom and dad. We're just regular people. We had our issues. Well, how come all the brothers in the ministry? I guess we're too dumb to know not to go to the ministry. I don't know. Where's this? Hallelujah. God didn't tell us, you know, if you go in the ministry, you may have to face a few things. We just went along and did it. And then it came along whenever, you know. But glory to God, no. And every one of us, God looks, He's no respecter of persons, see. He's no respecter of persons. Every one of you that sit here tonight, you sit with a great potential in for your life.
Amen.
To be used in the kingdom of God. And the only thing that's going to stop you is this head.
Yep.
There's nothing the devil can do that can stop what God intends to do with your life. Nothing. There's not a devil in hell that can stop what the Spirit of God is going to do in your life. Don't buy into this thing that there's some demon that's stopping you. No. God's not afraid of demons. I love what John Knox said. He said, even if this church were filled with demons from floor to ceiling, it still wouldn't stop the Holy Ghost from moving. Amen?
Amen.
Because the minute He moves, they're going to be out of here gone. Amen? But mostly what's going to stop you is your mindset. Because you're going to sit there and you'll doubt the promise of God. Remember when on the day of Pentecost there were different reactions. Some doubted, said, what can this mean? Others just received it straight away. Others said, oh, no, they're just drunk, you know, because their minds had gone in the way. And we know different today. We know different. There's the Thomas heart, the Peter heart, and the Pharisee heart. And they're people, because of mindsets, traditions that they grew up in, will accept or reject the move of God. But if you let your mind be subject to the anointing of the Holy Ghost, if you let your thoughts be Holy Ghost thoughts, amen? Do not quench or suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and the utterance of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. But test and prove all things. Now, there's where the body of Christ has gone into error, because they said, well, we're going to test the spirits. And I've seen people testing the spirits. And somebody's laughing uncontrollably, and they think it's a demon. because of their mindset. See, I was in meetings in Burt, Michigan several years ago, and there was a lady, a young lady who had been in several foster homes. She was manic depressive. She was just getting really poor grades at school and just a total emotional mess, but came every night to the meeting and got absolutely drunk in the spirit. They had to carry her out on a stretcher every single night. And the guy, the people that brought her would take her to their home and phone the mother and father and say, listen, we were too late to bring her home, so we let her sleep at that, because they didn't want to take her home drunk because they wouldn't understand. So I told them, I said, be careful now when you go back to your big church. It's a Pentecostal church, but don't think you could just suddenly start laughing in the middle of the worship meeting, because I'll tell you what will happen. Four big deacons will come and drag you out and proceed to cast out a happy demon. Well, she didn't listen. In the middle of the worship meeting, she started laughing uncontrollably. And just as I prophesied, four big demons.
Wait! Wait!
Oh, my! That might have been prophetic. Oh, my. Four big deacons came and dragged her out and began to cast out this happy demon. And she would look at them and say, no, it's not a devil, it's the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, what you got is really bad. But none of them thought about the fact that she'd been manic depressive for so long. She'd been trying to suicidal and yet God filling her with supernatural joy, and they're trying to cast it out. Why? Because of a mindset. Because if they don't understand it, it can't be God.
Right.
But you would have to be God to understand it anyway. You would have to have God's mind to really to tell. And besides that, I've never seen the devil make anybody happy. Come on. I say, it's an attack of the devil. I say, well, keep on attacking. It's wonderful. Man, it's just blessing me so much. Come on, attack me some more. And I tell you what, dear people, if this was the devil, I mean, you wouldn't have to come to church to get it. No, no, you could just go down the street somewhere where doctors was, and then you'd lie on the floor laughing uncontrollably. The pubs would be full of people rolling on the floor. But I tell you what, they could not have bought what this dear lady had last night and many others that you did. They could not have bought it. Amen.
That's right.
That was the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord, the supernatural joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Full!
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
I love it. I love seeing people just get so saturated. I tell you right now, it's just wonderful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I think I've just about done what I needed to do here tonight. But I tell you what, God is molding us and making us and shaping us in the vessel that He wants us to be. It's a good vessel. It's not wrought with fear and anxiety, but it's wrought with the goodness and the blessing of God. And so, let me leave you with this. Whenever that fear tries to come on you, look at the peace of God on the inside of your heart. Look to the peace first. The Bible says, let the peace of God be the umpire of your heart. The turmoil will try to grab you here, but the Holy Ghost is still on the inside. See, the same anointing you had in the meeting last night is going to be the same anointing with you tomorrow when you face the anxiety.
Right.
And so ignore the anxiety. Ignore the thought that's trying to assail you and go with the peace on the inside of your heart.
Yeah.
I've sat and thought about this. I thought, wow, my head's in this thing here, but my heart, there's such a peace here. I think I'll go with my heart. Amen? Because it's much better. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so ignore your thoughts. Ignore them because they're not valid. They're tainted by false experiences from the past. They're tainted by the things that have taken place in the past that have no relevance with what God intends to do with you in the future. You are different. You have changed. You're never going to be the same again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Never the same again. Amen. Never the same again. You're going to say never the same again? I'm never going to be the same again. I'm changed. I'm different.
I'm different.
I'm thinking different.
I'm acting different.
Hallelujah. you went to Denny's the night before and you ate a greasy meal and you had too many cups of coffee and you didn't have enough sleep and you get in the worship service and you're like this. And then your mind tells you there's something wrong with you. Yeah, there is. You didn't have enough sleep. Just press into God. Just press into Him. Just press in. Don't listen to the flesh. The flesh will tell you you need to go home and sleep. Just press into heaven, because when you press in, there's going to come a corresponding anointing. Amen. That touch your life and to quicken you,
yes,
and to bring you right up,
yes,
out of that,
yes,
thing. And I'll tell you what, you'll,
yeah,
be bouncing in a few minutes. It's not long. It's not hard to get into the Holy Ghost. I'm doing it right now. It's like you're standing here in one condition, and the next minute you step right over there, and you're in the middle of the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't live by what your head tells you. Don't be ruled by your head. Be ruled by your heart. Hallelujah. You blessed tonight?
Yes.
Put your hands to heaven. Glory to God. Lord, we just thank you tonight for your anointing that is upon every single person here tonight, Lord. Your anointing is just flowing in the minds and the hearts of everyone here today, tonight. Lord, you're changing us systematically. You're changing us, Jesus. We're not the people we were yesterday. Today is a different day. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. And Lord, your blessings are new every morning. They're new every morning. So we look forward to tomorrow morning. We look forward to it, Lord. Tomorrow's not going to be a stressful day. Tomorrow's not going to be a difficult day. Tomorrow's not going to be a heavy, burdensome day. But we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to feel the glory of God. We're going to feel the presence of God and the anointing. God's ability, God's efficiency, and God's might is going to be working on the inside of us to help us be a success tomorrow.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday, but we're going to get up on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we're going to have the new blessings that are new on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we're going to work in those blessings, Lord.
Yes.
And we're going to let you work out the details. You're going to work out the details, Lord.
Yes.
You're going to figure out how to change the future. You're going to figure out how to change the things that happened in the past. But we're going to bless you today, and we're going to love on you today, and we're going to give you thanks in everything, Lord, because you are our source. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell him, Lord, you are my source of supply. You are my blessing. You are my peace. You are my joy. You are my provision. I am what you say I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To trust him and to rely upon him, because the things that your mind would tell you, the thoughts that try to sail you, are not true. Whatever the lie of the enemy has come is not the truth. It's what God says about you that's true. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so you're changing right before, and right from this very moment, you're changing right in the middle of the presence of God. You're changing. Hallelujah. He's doing an awesome thing on the inside of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now go ahead and let his anointing just begin to touch you right now. Let his anointing just begin to flow over you. And I tell you what, there'll come a breeze through those trees. right now. Holy Ghost thoughts, just come into your heart right now, into your mind, just breezing across those trees, those memory trees. And God's beginning to build new, fresh, good, Holy Ghost, heavenly memories and thoughts on the inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let him breeze through the trees right now. He'll begin to heal those memories from the past, those toxic thoughts that have been assailing you, the memories of the hurts of the past, things that people did to you, things that people said to you. And they are definite memories because they were made permanent. But God's going to place right alongside, you've got several trillion cells. I mean, you've got several hundred million cells that God can fill with good things. And he's going to begin to build a forest of the glory and the presence and the good thoughts of heaven on the inside of you so that they supersede, so that the memories of the past, the failures of the past, the fears of the past, the anxieties of the past begin to diminish and get less and less as the positive things that the Holy Ghost begins to put on the inside of you begin to grow and overshadow those things. So that eventually they become a distant memory. That are even hard, if you try to remember them, they become hard to remember the detail because God is slowly but surely putting them to rest. And I believe there's an anointing that will come on the inside and literally cut them off in the name of Jesus. Just cut them off in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I pray tonight that anointing just comes upon you right now. The Bible says, thou anointest my head with oil. Why not your hands? Why not your feet? Why not your mouth? Your head is the biggest problem. Thou anointest my head with oil, and as a result, my cup runneth over. Because when your head begins to think godly things, your cup begins to run over. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So lay your hand on your head right now, and thank him for the anointing upon your mind right now. Thank him for the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for anointed thoughts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for anointed thinking. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that this mind is filled with your goodness. This mind is filled with your glory. This mind is filled with your presence, with your power, with your victory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm not that negative person, Lord. I'm not that defeated person. Hallelujah. I don't live by what happened in the past, but I'm living by what you're doing in me tonight, today. It's good. It's wonderful. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And if you have to do that every single day of your life, amen, you can go stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and say, mind, behave yourself. Amen. Behave yourself. Don't look at yourself every day and say, mind, you better think good things today because I'm watching you. Amen. I'm watching you. And you think wrong things, I'm going to slap you upside the head. Amen. Glory to God. And just be definite about it. Work at this thing. Work it like you would exercise.
Yeah.
Like you go to the gymnasium and pump iron to get some muscle.
Yeah.
Go and exercise this thing. Work at it. Amen.
Yes.
If the fears are assailing you, then find the thing that's going to work on the fear. And put that on the inside of you. Amen.
Amen.
Work on it. Just begin to tell yourself. Those things that happened in the past are not important anymore. It's what God's going to do with you from now on.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm talking to you, dear sister. What God's going to do for you from now on. Amen. Good thing. Because he's got a plan. He's planned it up already.
Thank you, Lord.
He's planned it. Now, the enemy would love you to believe something different. See? And circumstance would love to try to pull you back. But God's got good things for you. And he wants to, he's going to clean up that. And even those things that worry you at night, those things that have kept you awake at night, many nights, God says, I will sort them out for you. If you'll focus on me, if you'll focus on me, I'm your source of supply. I will look after you. I will help you. Amen?
Amen.
Does that encourage you? Does that sound good? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, you may as well get happy then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes,
make her happy, Lord. Double happy.
Lord.
Yeah.
Bless Lord.
Double, double happy,
Lord. Bless her, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, we may as well get happy while the Lord's working on us.
Yes.
You know? Like a visit to the dentist. I mean, who likes that? But they give you the snuggest oxide, happy dance. And then you laugh while he's pulling the tooth out. I mean, what a deal. Amen. What a deal. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Sure. And it's not hard. It's really easy. I mean, it's really easy. just fall into nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Just fall right in, glory to God.
Thank you.
Amen. Now look at her, she can help you. She's the worst of the She looks over there for some help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Christians need to just lighten up, you know. We're so busy looking for the complicated thing. We're so busy looking for the complicated. But God just wants to come in the way with His glory and His blessing.
Yes.
Wasn't that good the other night?
Yes.
Amen. Was it you? Who?
That's
oh, that's his brother. Where's his brother? Your brother?
Richard's
not
there.
Oh, he's not there. Okay. Well, he looks similar. Maybe that's a pity. Maybe you'll get what your brother got lost.
Yeah, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Because he really does love you.
Yeah.
He wants to bless you beyond measure.
Yes.
And your head's telling you, why would he do that? For what reason would he do that? I did nothing good. You know, I'm not perfect. Well, look around. Do you see any perfect people here?
No.
Look around. So, you think the pastor and his wife are perfect? I mean, they're almost perfect. They're kind of getting there. There's nobody perfect around you, see. And so God's not blessing you because you're perfect. God's blessing because you're perfect.
Thank you.
He's blessing you not because you're good,
but
because He's good.
Yeah, so
and His goodness. He says, the goodness of God leads to repentance.
Yes.
The goodness. He says, I'll taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I don't know about you, when I go to a restaurant, I like good food. If the food's bad, I don't recommend the restaurant if the food's bad. Come on. And so why would you recommend God if everything you ever had wasn't good? And so many Christians are coming and they're suffering. They're suffering in the presence of God.
That's right.
See, they're suffering. I'm suffering for Jesus. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Fullness. Say, well, what's fullness? That's a spiritual thing, bless God. I'm full of joy. I said, well, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have noticed. Because if you're full of joy, it's going to have to come out. Amen?
Yes.
And when it comes out, you'll actually look like you're joyful. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've got joy by faith. Yeah, right. Well, it's deep joy. Deep joy. I know, it's so deep, it's buried. You can't find it. Amen. Hallelujah. But the joy of the Lord is visible. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And you can stand them and you can feel it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I hope. You just need the old pump to be primed a little bit. That's all. Just priming the old pump. Well, maybe not the old one, but. That's a more. Sure. Lord and God. Hallelujah. Lord, get it as she goes out the door. Give her a double dose,
Lord.
Give her a double dose, Jesus. Yeah, double dose, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. My. Sure. It's just getting over this thing that, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Why would God want to give me joy? Well, if you looked at yourself, you'd realize why you need joy. Just look at the mirror. I mean, I look at myself every morning and say, hey, Lord, I need some joy today. I mean, Lord, have mercy. Please, if everybody has to look at what I'm seeing, then I definitely need some joy. Amen. It's not hard to tell you need joy. Amen. Glory to God. We probably need joy more than anything else. You remember I was sharing this morning how the brain is really a chemical factory. And joy, actually what joy does is it releases certain endorphins. It's a hormone that actually heals the body.
Yeah.
And the Bible says a merry heart doeth good, not an innocent thing. And so God gave us the ability to be joyful. And when you laugh, something's taking place inside there, yeah, that's releasing chemicals that actually heal your body. Isn't that amazing? So go ahead and have some more joy. You can't laugh with your mouth closed. Oh yeah, it's really hard. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And you spend the night laughing in the joy of the Lord, and then you go home and say, "Wow, I feel so good. What's happened?" Because your brain has been releasing these endorphins that have been doing good inside your body. See, now fear has the opposite result. Fear will trigger those 1,400 known chemicals that release up to 30 hormones all at the same time. And they go in your body and wreak havoc. They wreak havoc. They mess your system up. And then the scientists and the doctors say, "Well, you have a chemical imbalance," and they start giving you all kinds of chemicals. And I mean, the Lord, it mess you up even further. I mean, see, now they're trying to help them. I mean, I understand they're trying to help. They don't know themselves. And all we need is we just need what God gave us in the beginning. Amen. It's called the joy of the Lord. My strength. The Christians love singing about it. If you want joy, you must clap for it. And people clap all night and then they got so big. How can I have the joy? They sing that song. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, I could have danced all night. All night. And if 5 minutes later, they sit down totally exhausted. What happened to me all night? Glory to God. Amen.